Welcome, everybody, to the Fantasy Golf Insider Podcast. I'm Jeff Bergerson, joined as always by Zachary Turcotte.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, Zachary? Only a couple more events in this fall season. Thank you all very much for sticking with us during the fall. I know it's kind of a slow time with golf. The contests on DraftKings are slow. The fields aren't very good, but we keep trucking through this. We'll get through it a couple more events. Be sure to be a premium member of FantasyGolfInsider.com and FootballInsiderEdge.com for all your football needs. It's right around the corner that we're going to have loaded fields and the top-notch events, so you might as well get on board right away. We only got about a month and a half until that. So, and be sure to jump on the football site. Things are going well in football. It's a hell of a value, basically. All the information that we give you on a weekly basis, from outright bets to DFS. Every single week, we share a lot of strategy, a lot of information, our own player picks. So be sure to jump on board. Speaking of which, Zachary, how did last week go? I got off the schneid. I had a couple of bad weeks, but had a good week in betting last week. Pretty decent in DFS as well. How about you?
On the golf side, it was a little bit frustrating. I had a couple guys that blew the cut for me, which I just barely missed out on cashing too. That was frustrating. But Matty Schmidt had been playing extremely well.
Yep.
And back-to-back top tens. And he had made like 8 or 10 straight cuts in a row, including the Euro Tour. And he was off to a pretty decent start last week, and then just laid an egg at the back half of the first round, and fought a little bit the second round, but just kind of played like dog shit. So he missed the cut. That hurt. And then Neil Shipley, he started off 4 over the first round. He shot 5 under the next day, but still managed to miss the cut by 1 shot. So my cash game team just barely missed out. The other guys were actually all really pretty good. I had Harry Hall, who was 14th. I had Bridgman, who was 14th. I had Joe Highsmith, who was 5th. Rico Hui made another cut for me. So the rest of the team was pretty decent, but a lot of other people had 6 of 6s or 5 of 6s there. So even though those 4 played pretty well, like, just not getting those 2 through the cut was enough to knock me back a little bit. But overall, it's still been going pretty well. Football was winning week on the bets side, just barely. Could have been a lot better, but a couple late ones had kind of gone against me. And then on the DFS side, yesterday was not a great day on the football side. I just, for whatever reason, none of the guys, up until Justin Herbert played in the late game, I didn't have a single player add any touchdowns to their scoring for me, which is never a great sign. Touchdowns are a good thing in DFS for NFL, and I wasn't getting any of those anywhere. I knew it was going to be a rough day when Josh Downs dropped the easiest walk-in touchdown ever for the Colts at the start of the game. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And then it happened again later in the day. Kamara, I mean, this is the same thing. And then, you know, there were a couple of things I could have flipped here and there. Like, I was kind of going back and forth. Do I want the extra $500 and play the Patriots defense, or do I want to play the Bears defense and, you know, suck it up a little bit on the flex spot? And I'm thinking, oh, the Bears are just going to shut these guys down. Like, the Patriots are terrible. And then it was the exact opposite, as the wheels just continue to come off the wagon for the Bears. I mean,
oh, I know.
Have you ever seen a play like that, where, you know, like a Hail Mary play just absolutely ends a team's season in just one terrible play, where they just get worse and worse every week? And I mean, it feels like they have absolutely given up on their season at this point. You see DJ Moore walking off the field, you know, in the middle of a rout against Arizona.
Yeah, right.
They're kind of speaking out pretty openly about the things in the locker room and the coaching staff. I mean, the coach clearly has lost the team at this point. Pretty underwhelmed with Caleb Williams. Not that he has much of an offensive line blocking for him, but he's got enough talent around him that you wouldn't think his numbers would be this poor at this point. So, but yeah, in any case, so the Bears didn't play well while the Patriots were very good. So there was just a couple little switches that kind of kept me out in football. But yeah, I don't know. Overall, things have been going fairly well. It's a little frustrating when you look at the golf field, and we just don't get great fields in golf anymore. I remember we used to get a couple really good ones kind of in the fall season, but it looks like at this point, at least, that the top guys from here on out are just going to take most of a 3-month break each year.
So what were you saying about cash games? They didn't fill up last week.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. They're really like just kind of in looking at a few of these here. I'll just pull one of them up. So like this, where is it? Oh, of course, the app is really slow. So yeah, so this $5 contest that I was in on DraftKings, they had planned it out for 459 entries for the week. They only had 350. I mean, that was probably their biggest $5 contest. So, but yeah, it was kind of the same across the board. There were a lot of cash game contests that were definitely less than full, which I think just kind of indicates that this time of year with what the PGA Tour has decided to offer us is you're kind of losing fan interest, which that's something they could fix, right? I mean, they've had the whole program where they wanted guys to play in like a new event or something each year.
Right.
Just have them play in two events during the fall, right? Yeah. Is that much of a ball breaker for them to get out and just say, hey, you got to play twice in the fall? Oh, my gosh.
And just reduce the amount of events. And you're still going to give the opportunity to plenty of guys. You're just not going to have this complete garbage at the bottom. Right. You don't need these bottom 30 to 50 guys. Come on.
It's silly. And I mean, the fields haven't even been that big. Like it's not like the fields have been much bigger than like 115 to 120 guys. So they've got the field space for most of these events without too much of a problem. I just think that the players, they're making just money hand over fist for most of the year, so that they don't care. But yeah, like this week there's 120 players that are in the field, so if five or six star players wanted to show up, I'm sure they figure out a way to be able to make space. It's just,
well, you hear the argument, well, then you're not giving players a shot. I think Nick Watney has had sufficient shots. I think we've seen enough of Bill Haas. I just don't think it's necessary, right?
Yeah, I would. Kind of Ben Crane is down here. I mean, we got DuPoints is in the field. You know, Cody Gribble's had plenty of opportunities. Yeah, so, I mean, it's
you're just degrading your product, basically.
Yeah, the signal that you're telling fans is go away in the fall.
Yeah.
And then come back in January again, which, hey, I guess maybe that's all they want. Maybe they do just want to give guys more off time, but it's just kind of a killer for the product as far as these fields. And it, I think it kind of cheapens the points that get picked up this time of year too. Right.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, I mean, can you imagine in the other pro sports leagues, if in baseball, they were just like, you know what, for 40 games out of the year, we're going to let the AA and AAA players play in the league. And then it'll count just like when the real players are up here in the league too. It just seems very strange. When I opened the app up today and I saw Seamus Power and Mackenzie Hughes as the top two priced guys.
Easily.
Yeah,
clear cut.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I just thought, oh wow. Yeah, I guess we're just not going to see much. Maybe a couple more guys will come out for Sea Island, but there's not even a lot of big names that live in the Sea Island area. Anyway, it used to be a bigger, like this, there were more stars, but that group of guys is kind of faded a little bit into the twilight. So it is an interesting way of playing. I do like the fact that in these fall fields, we do get to see how certain players perform so that coming into next year, we can be just a little bit ahead of the curve. But beyond that, the events haven't been terribly compelling.
Let's dive into this week's event, the Butterfield Bermuda Championship. Port Royal Golf Club. It's been held here five times. It's a Robert Trent Jones design. It's a real short course, 6,800 yards. par 71, a bunch of short par fours, Bermuda green. So be sure to use that. Green size is large again, like last week, which is why I'm using that as a comp course this week. Again, a resort course, low rough, a lot of scoring, things like that. Kind of similar to last week, kind of similar to a lot of the resort courses that we look at, even the shorter courses too. Like I used Wailea, yep, which is a coastal course, and Harbor Town. What else you got on the comp course list?
Yeah, I threw those in. So I threw the old course on there that we used to see in Mexico, El Camaleon, even though the tour doesn't stop there. We've still got a couple guys with numbers at Harbor Town. Pebble Beach, Plantation course obviously is super, super long, but it's kind of a resort course. Bermuda greens, pretty big greens, not terribly difficult scoring. I use Sea Island, I use Sedgefield, Vidanta Vallarta, and Wailea. Yep, those are all of them.
As you had mentioned, Seamus Power is up top at 10-5, followed by Mackenzie Hughes, then Maverick, Ben Griffin, Doug Gim, Patrick Rogers, Lucas Glover, Justin Lower. How low you want to go?
Yeah, it's pretty wide open. Like this is another one of those weeks. It's interesting, during the season, a lot of years you have to really maneuver among your player pool for guys that you want up at the top. But you know, if you want to use Seamus Power this week, you're not going to have any issues with building around him. I'll likely use Seamus this week. I don't mind. He's been in pretty good form throughout the fall. He's got years of experience here. He won here 2 years ago, so that's always a positive. 10-5, that's not a terrible price. Mackenzie Hughes doesn't have any experience here, although, you know, his short game tends to be his strength. So I wouldn't necessarily think that he would be a bad play. Look at him over like the last 16 rounds. He's number one in the field for strokes gained short, which tends to work out great for these resort style courses. So either of those are good plays. I probably favor Seamus a little bit just because of his experience. And he's played just a little bit more in the fall, but the two times that we've seen Hughes over the last couple months, he's had top 10 finishes there too. So you like either one of those, or are you in or out on either of them?
I do like Power as well and have him in my core, but I am having problems building rosters when I combine a guy in the low 9K range along with Power. So yeah, if you're going Power, I don't know that you can do a 9K guy, because if you do like 9,500 along with Power, you're left with 7,500, and that is a tough range down in the low 7Ks. Oh man, yeah,
it definitely drops off a little quicker. I mean, there's playable options, but yeah, I mean, you go from having, you know, kind of a loaded area in the mid to upper 7K range,
correct,
to where it's the door slams real quick, and then you're just kind of feel like you're just looking for cut makers.
Yep.
The rest.
So that was my only problem, because I like Ben Griffin quite a bit this week, and I'm trying to build rosters with both Power and Griffin, and it's I don't love it.
No, that's going to be a challenge. The guy that I think everybody is likely to go for, and since, you know, I'm a chalk machine, I probably will play him as well. Justin Lower there at 9,300 seems to be the standout play. Three straight top 20 finishes at this course, coming in off of a second place finish last week, got to elevate himself there a little bit. So he's somebody that I'll be looking at. Do you just go right back to Matty Schmidt at 9,100? Misses one.
I do. That was my question for you, though. I think we're going to shed some ownership there. And
I think you do. I think you do. I mean, he's played really well for much of the last few months. So the form is, I would say, still intact. I mean, if you look at his tee to green numbers year over the last 16 and even like the last 24 rounds, really sharp. He's played here a couple times. He's third here a year ago. So I don't see any reason not to use him this week. Anybody else in the nines that you use? You tend to be a little bit of a Patrick Rodgers guy, but 9,500 is a tough price on Patrick Rodgers.
I guess I'm okay with Lucas Glover for the same reason as last week. Stevens is fine there, but I'm kind of looking at, is the guy back? We've talked about this a few times this fall, Daniel Berger at 8,900. Is he truly back?
He is. I mean, if his game is on, then you want to use him. I mean, when I run my course comp tool.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Yep. He's number one for me.
Yep, me too.
Old gaining over a stroke per round for like 30 career starts. So he was fine last week. Another 20th place finish. The price obviously is climbing, right? So now you start to have some expectations. 20th is kind of, that's what you want to shoot for if you're using him there. But I do feel like he is actually kind of getting back into his game. And the TD Green numbers are starting to show that a little bit. The results have been pretty good. I just think he's a world-class player who had to kind of work his way through couple years of, you know, dealing with a lot of injuries and things, and now he seems pretty driven to get back into his rightful place again. So yeah, I still like Berger there. Andrew Putnam has been playing pretty well there at 9,000. So I think he's somebody with pretty good experience. He played here, 23 years ago? He was 21st, and he's had a handful of the top 25s of late. So I think he's somebody to look at. What do you think of Nino Echeverria? I was kind of thinking he might have a little bit of a letdown coming off of his win, but
right,
that didn't happen at all. He had a sixth place finish last week. He has a little bit of experience here, obviously hitting the ball extremely well. Iron play has been really sharp, fourth among this field over the last 16 rounds, which I like, been putting the ball pretty well. 8,600, not a terrible price there for him either. Anybody else in this 8K range?
Yeah, the range that I like starts at kind of 8,100, where you have Kevin Yu.
And then don't forget Joe Highsmith there at 82.
Joe Highsmith. He's out.
Oh, is he not in the field?
Yeah, he's out. Yeah,
he's out. Of course.
So
8,200 player there then. Yeah.
No. So I like you. I like Rico at 79 again. I like Alex Smalley, 79. I like Carson Young, 78. That was a near miss last week. That was unfortunate because I had a big ticket on him. But
yeah, you did. Was he like 100-1 or something?
Close. I think it was 85.
Oh, geez.
Would have been nice.
Yeah, Necro just kind of ran away with it at the end. So it was not a whole lot you could do unless you hedged out day of, but
right.
Yeah, he's Carson Young is pretty good on these little pitch and putt type of courses. I mean, you're not really, it's not really showing up in the recent strokes gained numbers, but his short game is kind of what he has done well when he's been at his best. And so this would be another kind of opportunity for that to shine. I'll probably just keep playing Rico at 7,900 there. That hasn't hurt me. TD Green numbers have been great if you're looking at 16 rounds, whether you're looking at 24 rounds. It's just a guy who's, for whatever reason, something just clicked with him in the easier events late in the summer. Maybe that's all that it was. It just the fact that he was on easier courses. But he's been an absolute cut-making machine there. So I think he's somebody that that'll definitely be looking at. You mentioned Alex Smalley, so I think he's a strong play too. And then yeah, you start to kind of run out of space a little bit as you get to 7,500. Wesley Bryan is probably sort of the cutoff point. I know both of us were on him last week, and he's had a nice little resurgence.
Yes, here. He has.
I've been very impressed. And what's nice there is that the price hasn't really caught up to just how well he's been he's been swinging the clubs, coming in off of a sixth place finish, couple other top 25s here over the last couple of months there. So
his two best career finishes are at comp courses too.
Yeah, so I think that is I think that's pretty encouraging. Just looking at that, and that's, you kind of mentioned that was sort of the point where things get a little bit more difficult coming down. Who are the guys that you're looking at kind of below that 7,500?
There's a smattering, but I'm not going to have much exposure to anybody. I have some Higo. I have some Wu. I have a little Raimi, little Lanto. Where is just Lanto a smattering of crap, basically.
Guys who have kind of made the cut here and there over the years. And
you just grasp toward reasons why, you know, it's just like one or two things that make them reasonable to have some exposure to, just to have some cap relief down there.
Yeah, that seems pretty fair. I don't have too many arguments.
Anyone in the 6K range that you like?
Gosh, there really wasn't anybody down here. I'm not sure that I'll end up actually owning anybody down in this range, because it's mostly unplayable. Or the guy's form has been so poor of late that there just really wasn't much that I saw. So yeah, I'm not sure that anybody will actually make it for me in the 6K range this week.
Taylor Montgomery withdrew as well, so you can't roster him.
Yeah, and he's a tough one too, because he's kind of been the last couple years. Remember how good he was 2 years ago in the fall, and then kind of again last year in the fall, and then this year just nothing. So it looks like he's going to be kind of done. Yep. Which I don't know. Maybe he's dealing with some sort of an injury or something that we.
What does it say? Oh, it's undisclosed. What do you know? they're so good about releasing information as to what the hell is going on with these guys.
Amazing in-depth reporting. There's nothing really in the 6K range that caught my eye. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you could hope for another miracle from Camillo like last year. Now at 6,300, I think that one kind of came out of nowhere. But he hasn't been playing well at all, so I guess I don't know why. But you'd expect really anything different from him there. I would just say I will probably load up in the 7K range. I'll have a couple of guys in that mid 8K range and a few in the 9, but most of my lineups are probably going to come together pretty balanced, just because I can't find much that I'm really going to work with. So
I agree with you.
So that's about all that I got for the week. I guess we'll be down to one more.
Yeah.
After tonight, and I'm hoping that the field's a little bit stronger for Sea Island, just because there's so many guys that live in the area that we usually at least get a couple of decent names there. But
we shall see.
Yeah. Nobody all else right. wanted to get a Bermuda, I guess.
If you have any questions for us, you can hit us up. You can jump in Slack chat. You can do it email or on X. Whatever you like, football related, golf related, you name it, we're here for you. If you need anything, let us know. Thanks for joining us in the bleak fall winter, and we'll be picking it up big time in January, but we'll see you next week for RSM. Good luck this week.
Good luck.